Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. We'll read the first five verses together. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And let's read verse 5 together. Ready? But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the fact that we know that you're going to meet with us here in this place. Thank you that we know that we have a man of God that is not only in our city, but in our church. Thank you for that. Thank you for a church that does stand for the truth and stand for the right. Thank you that the devil has a hard time being here. Father, please fill our preacher tonight with your power. Take us, our church, and our own personal lives to new heights and new levels today so that we can reach more people throughout this summer, please. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated.
I am an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist. I've been one for 30 years. It's all I know. I don't plan to know anything else. I've never been anything else. I didn't come out of another denomination or something else and become what I am today. This is where I started. God helping me, this is where I'll end. I have watched churches and pastors come and go. I've watched them come and go and come and go and come and go. As I travel across the nation, and as people travel to come here, maybe one of the most frequent statements they make to me is this: Brother Owens, please don't change. Please don't change. Everybody's changing for the worse. Everybody's leaning left in a world that needs to go right. Please don't change. I have watched the deterioration of colleges, Bible colleges. I have watched the deterioration of preachers. I've watched the deterioration of pastors, evangelists, and missionaries. I've watched the deterioration of people's Christian schools, Christian newspapers. I've watched them be straight down the line in their inception. I've watched them not afraid to stand for what's right, but slowly and surely through the years change that for which they stand. Never have I seen as many people changing direction at one time than I do right now in fundamentalism. I almost see the whole thing leaning left. Well, it really wasn't where it needed to be in the first place. It can't afford to lean real left. I see changes. I've seen churches change. Churches and pastors I would have never dreamed would change for the worse. I've seen some change very drastically. I have a friend in another state, a man who I love, but I'll not preach for him, nor will he preach for me. I'll love him, but I'm sorry. I am not going to associate with people that have their tail between their legs. Now, I'll pray for him, and I will be his friend. I will not call his name. I'm not going to do that. He stood in his pulpit and withdrew his belief in standards in his church. So said, well, we don't need that. I'll tell you why. He went to a bigger church. He figured that if he would change the way he preached, he could draw a bigger crowd. I'd rather have a small crowd and be right with God than a big crowd with my tail between my legs liberalizing the old-time way. But that's not the dangerous thing. The dangerous thing are not those that just stand up and say, I'm changing. I'm going a different direction. Dangerous thing are those who very divisively and ever so slightly, a little at a time, turn from the old-time way. A little at a time. So everybody stands back and they say, is that a change? something, are we going a different direction here? That's a little confusing to me. But you never can put your finger on it. Ever so slight. Ever so careful. And let me tell you something. That's really how the devil works in our lives, in our churches anyway. You know, the devil, he doesn't think we're stupid enough to just overnight say, all right, let's drop the old time ways and we're just going to live it up like the charismatic crowd out there. Let's just have us a wing ding of a time down at the church and live like the world and we'll throw God's name in on everything every once in a while. He knows we know better than that. So what's he do? He comes along and says, well, let me get you to move a little to the left a little at a time. We'll just bump this thing, get you off course just a little bit. So it's not real obvious to everybody what's happening. The song that we sang as a congregational song a few minutes ago is just perfect for tonight. The world behind me, the cross before me. I'll tell you how it's supposed to be. We should not be heading the direction of the world. No, if the world's back there, the world's to be behind you. And the cross before us. You know what that means? We're to constantly be purifying ourselves. We're to be getting more sin out of the church. We're to get the church more pure. We're to becoming more like Jesus, not less like Jesus. The world is to be behind us, and every one of us need to turn our back on the world and the things of the world, and we're to be heading toward Jesus Christ. The world's behind me. The cross is before me. And that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. There's another verse to it. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Listen, folks, if every church in America wants to go the way of the world, I know one, as long as I'm the pastor, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I want us to stay on track. I believe that God has been blessing the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church with a modern day revival like few have ever seen in the last 3 years. And if I were, if I were a betting man, it's not a good idea to change a winning lineup. It's not a good idea. Let's not tamper with revival and let's not tamper with God's blessing. And part of that is every once in a while I get up here and throw a little bit of a fit. And I preach against sin. Satan is a slick character. These words that we read earlier from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Let me read to you again here and I'll find it. I want to read it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says this in verse number 5. No, that's not what I want. Let me find it. Oh, here it is. The Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth. Now, here God tells us, this was written by the Apostle Paul. It is a charge to a young preacher named Timothy. He uses those words, I charge thee. What was he saying? Paul was saying to Timothy, he was saying, buddy, I challenge you. It was a charge. Now, what Paul is writing here is quite an aggressive, it's almost a get up in Timothy's face, not unkindly. It was one man saying to another man, I challenge you to do something. Well, I'll tell you something. When a real man, when he's challenged to do something, he steps up. He steps up. Paul said, I challenge you. He almost said, I verbally call you out on this thing. That's what he was saying. He said, I call you out before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, Timothy, I challenge you. I dare you. He's virtually saying, I challenge you before God and Jesus Christ, meaning God is my witness that I'm challenging you. Jesus Christ is my witness that I'm challenging you. And then he says, preach the word. Now, you say, well, we ought to preach the word. He wasn't just saying preach the word. He was saying preach all the word. Yeah, you know, there's certain parts of the word you could preach anywhere you want. You know, you can get away with using certain parts of the Bible in the public school, and they kicked the Bible out of there a long time ago. You can get away with it because they're not offensive, aggressive. They don't rub anybody the wrong way. Paul was not just saying a blanket statement, just preach the word. He was saying, don't be afraid to preach all of it. Don't be afraid to step up and preach it all. Even
done what we might consider the unpleasant parts. He said, preach the word. Then he says, be instant. Now, I looked that up. It means stand on it. Be ready to stand up for it. Be ready to aggressively, this is almost what it meant, in a flash, to be instant, you need to be ready to step up and go. You be ready to step up and go and preach the word and let Jesus Christ be your witness and God be your witness. And I challenge you to do that, young preacher. He said, be instant in season. Now, what's it mean there? It means you be ready in a season when it's popular. In season. There are times when the Word of God's popular. You say, when's that? Easter morning? Christmas Sunday? You know, you got your C&E Christians. They show up for Christmas and Easter, and it's popular then to talk about Jesus. You know, when somebody's at their 4th of July drunken, naked party, bring up Jesus in the resurrection. You see, in season means when it's popular, when they like it, when they're for it. See, people want to pick when they're for God. I'll pick when I'm for God. So he said, you be instant in season. Then he said, out of season. Out of season. Brother, I was out at Brother Bob and Barbara Jones's today, and we talked for a minute. Brother Jones said to me, he said, just this morning, he said, I could hear a turkey. I could hear him right out here. He's out there a goblin. He said, now, turkey season is out. He said, so I just went out to take a look. He qualified that. He said, turkey season is out. He said, and I tried to get rid of that turkey because he said, I knew this. He said, as loud as he was goblin, he said, I know when I came to church, if anybody in this neighborhood heard him being out of season or not, somebody go out there and shoot that big old turkey. He said, it had about a 9 to 12 inch beard. He said, I got to look at it. He said, it's a good looking bird. He said, if it was out of season. Now, you know something? There are times when the preaching of the word is out of season to people. It's out of season. That, what does that mean? It's unpopular. They don't like it. They're not for it. But Paul said to Timothy, now young man, you need to be challenged about this. You let God be your witness and let Jesus Christ be your witness. And what you have to do is you've got to preach the word, meaning all of it. You have got to preach it when they want it, and you've got to preach it when they don't want it. He said you've got to reprove, rebuke, and you need to exhort. He said some can't endure it. They won't be able to take it. They won't be able to take it. Folks, do you know there will be people that will leave our church that just won't be able to take someone that preaches the word? They won't be able to take it. They don't want to take it. Maybe you're one of them. I hope not. Most of being around long enough that you can take hard preaching. You know what was I really delighted about? I was really delighted that there's hardly anything that I'll say here this evening that's gonna bother most of you. Because you're pretty well getting used to hard preaching. You're pretty well used to somebody that gets up and preaches it straight. And I am so delighted. I am not worried. There was a time when I was worried if I got up and preached hard, half of you had to get up and walk out on me. It looks like you're pretty tough. Looks like you're going to be able to make it. Now, a few of you, you'll teeter in the balances for a little while tonight, but you'll probably land on your feet. But we need to. Some cannot endure it. Some will even turn their ears away from the truth. You know what's sad? I announced I would preach hard tonight. I announced it on Wednesday night. I announced it this morning. I will promise you, there are some who said, then I'm not going. Some of you probably debated. Some of you, the only reason you're here, because you know if you didn't go, your kids would know you're a whiny baby. You didn't want your wife to know. Don't turn your ears away from the truth. Paul is saying there is a season when straightforward preaching may be out of season. But young man, Timothy, do it anyway. Preach it anyway. We all understand seasons. The baseball season is upon us. Play ball! We understand basketball season and football season. We understand the holiday seasons and the decorations that go along with it. The hunting season, the racing season, gentlemen, start your engines. The gardening season, the golf season. The tropical forests have rainy seasons. You have the tourists' seasons and many other seasons. So we understand the seasons. The Bible says we're to be instant, in season, and out of season. And the preacher needs to be instant, in season, and out of season. Ready to stand up and preach the word, even the parts that are unpopular. God loves it when a church is in a season of revival. Souls being saved. Families salvaged. He wants a continual revival. Hey, we've been in a perpetual revival here. But I love the fact that there is season of revival. But you know something? I think Satan has some favorite seasons. You say, Brother Owens, I love the baseball season. Brother Bajan, he says, I love the hunting season. I love the hunting season. But Mrs. Owens, she loves the season where her flowers come out. The gardening season, if you will. There's some of you say, I love basketball season. I just love basketball season. Hey, there are some seasons that Satan enjoys. The summer season in America may be Satan's favorite season. He advertises extra for the summer season. He decorates for the summer season on the billboards and on television. He plans for your summer season. He looks forward to the summer season. He enjoys the summer season. He gets excited about the summer season. Because many Christians get off track and allow the summer season to hurt their Christianity. They become backslidden. They get away from God. They become unproductive. They become lazy. They get too busy for God. And for some of you, when I say they get backslidden, you've never slidden forward enough to be able to slide back much. You just get worse. But there's a season. And God says, you better watch out. Because there is a time when straightforward preaching is out of season. And I'll promise you, Satan has some seasons that he does not like. And that's a revival season. And Satan has some seasons that he does like. And we're coming into one of Satan's favorite seasons. For instance, Satan's favorite season is the summer season for the backsliding season. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways. Backsliding comes from the heart. Because your heart is truly not in your service to God, you backslide. Let me explain something. Everybody, every young person that was in Martinsburg Christian Academy, you be careful that you do not backslide over the summer. You see, during the school year, you have a schedule. You get up in the morning. You're busy all day long. You're required to live a certain way. You get up in the morning, and you need to make sure that now that school's over, that you do not become backslidden. You need to make sure you stay on track with God. Some of you Martinsburg Christian Academy students, you've had a spiritual year. You've had a good year. You've had a decent year. You've learned how to talk to your mom and dad. You've learned how to treat the opposite sex. You've learned how to tell the truth and read your Bible and pray and be right with God. Watch out! Summer season's here. The devil's favorite season. Young people, get up in the morning. Don't lay around and be lazy. Young people, don't lay around and watch television all day. And some of you parents, it's time for you to decide what your children watch. If you're letting Hollywood make the decision about what is on your television, you're weird. They're full of perverts. You say it's just cartoons. Have you looked at the cartoons of our day? Full of nudity and rock and roll and humanism and filth. Every cartoon on television is not worth your child watching. They're pumping sodomy into your children's minds, and you're not even paying any attention. The summer season's here, and because you don't have somebody else to babysit for your kids right now, if you're not careful, you're going to put them in front of the television and let Hollywood rub out their brains. And I'm telling you, some of you better wake up and realize those kids are your responsibility, and it's Satan's season. He loves this season. Better watch what you let your kids watch. Watch the television and the nudity and the cursing and the immorality. You wouldn't let people come right into your living room and do some of the trash. You let them come in through electronic device. Better watch what you let your kids do. Young people, read your Bible. You had Bible reading all year long in school. You ought to read your Bible at home. You need to keep coming soul winning. You need to dress right. You need to dress right. Something that this church and school is going to have to accept. The rules of that school are God's rules, not just school rules. And just so y'all know, we're going to start making it so you have to live the dress code at home and away from the church. We're not playing games. It's a serious issue, folks. Listen, young people, don't let the absence of a school cause you to have an absence of a Christianity. You're supposed to be living it. You're to listen to the right kind of music. You will not convince me that Dr. Don Smith and Joanne Smith, when they founded that school, gave some rules and said, this is good for you while you're at school, but you don't have to live right at home. You will not convince me that anybody in their right mind would make rules like that.
Yeah.
You just went this way down the church, but you can live totally contrary to it everywhere else. Think through it, folks. Really think through it. Put your thinking cap on for a second. Do you really think we're live one way down at the church house and somewhere, some other way, the minute we get off the property? You know better. All of us know better. Young people, you live right over the summer and you do right over the summer and you listen to the right music and you dress right. Teachers, you keep on going soul winning. You don't go soul winning because you're an employee of the church. You go soul winning because you are an employee of God. You say, well, I'm off God's payroll for the summer. You better hope God don't take you off the salvation roll. Obviously, he does not do that. But the way you figure it in, you only have to live right when you're down at the church house. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. Hey, tell you what. Watch the high school graduates. Watch them. You're about to find out what they really are. I could not tell you how many people have gone all the way through a Christian school, and the minute they graduate, they're living in a world, nasty, vile, wicked lives. What were you doing for 12 or 13 years in the Christian school? I was just faking along. You can look at every Christian school across America. Do you realize that there are Christian schools when their kids move to Tassel after school was out and graduation was over? There are actually Christian schools who just went out and got drunk. You learn 3 months after graduation from a Christian school what the kid really was all along. I am from underneath mom and dad. I don't have any rules. That's why some of you messed up your life. As soon as you got out of that Christian school, you went wild. Because that's what you wanted to do all the time you were in the school, but you couldn't get away with it because you couldn't stand the embarrassment of getting kicked out. So you made it all the way through and went out and tied it on the summer afterwards. And that's not good Christianity. That's not how it's supposed to be. Watch out now. You'll find out who's real. You find out who's real at vacation time. You need to go to church when you go on vacation this summer. You need to, you know something? I found an old Martinsburg Christian Academy handbook. I found a rule in there that stated visitors and parents that came on this property were to dress right when they came on this property. I'm getting a little tired of women running around here flaunting their little rear ends with their shorts on the church property and not thinking twice about it just because it gets a little warmer out here and they have their child in our Christian school. Seem like they have a little more respect than that. Anybody else getting tired of it? I've been awful patient for 3 years. I think word's out, isn't it? Word's out. It'll be out more so after this sermon. Wouldn't it be wrong for you to say to even your family members that come around to show some respect? You see, this is Satan's favorite season because it's backsliding season. Satan's favorite season is the summer sin season. Hebrews 11:25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, there is pleasure in sin. It's only for a season. It's only for a season. You'll only enjoy it for a little while. Boy, Satan has a seasoning that will drive your taste buds wild, but it'll gag you later on and cause you to have a sick tummy. Summer to some becomes a big party season. It's a party season. Let's have a good time. Let's booze it up so we can cool off. The music becomes more wild. The friends become more wild. The parties become wild. And lust in man runs wild. Matthew 5:28, it says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." You know what that means, fellas? You keep your eyes off the half-naked women. Just because they're cranking out the halter tops and the shorts and the bathing suits and strutting their stuff does not give you a right to look. You keep your eyes to yourself. If you're a married man, you have the license to look at one woman like that and one woman only, and that's the only one you're to look at like that, and everybody else is off limits, so keep your eyes to yourself. Your lust is sin. And did you hear what the Bible says? If you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. It does not say you had to sleep with her. It did not say you had to touch her. It said you looked at her. And it's time for some of you to turn the trash off that you're watching on television. You may fool your wife and say it. It's just entertainment, baby. But you're tingling and you like what you're looking at. And it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's sin. Oh, you'll have preachers that will stand up today and they'll preach, you shouldn't be sleeping with somebody you're not married to. They better start preaching the whole Bible. It says you're not even to look at her and lust after her in your heart. You can be glad it's covered up in your heart. Because if they had a window to your heart and everybody could see it, boy, your red light would be blinking often, wouldn't it? And the only thing that's worse than that are the women that cause the lust. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24 and 25 says, "To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." You know what that says? Women test, tempt, and draw men to the lust. Guess what, Sugar Plum? Nobody be lusting if you keep your body covered up. Are you enticing men to commit adultery with you in their heart? You see, you don't have the guts to go out and sleep with some guy in the back seat of your daddy's car, but you sure would like to uncloak yourself so everybody could sleep with you in their heart and in their mind, and you would be the one that would be enticing a man into lust by showing him your body. Cover your body up. Cover your body up. The Bible talks about the evil woman. That's somebody that's out to get attention. Are you a lust producer? You wrap pretty well, so you wrap it good and tight, so everybody can see it. You strut your stuff. It's wrong. And you're not so hot anyway. You may be embarrassing yourself a little more than what you think, sweetie pie. In search of entertainment. Let's let the devil provide it. Let's let the women produce it. The men will eat it up. The devil provides the halter tops and the shorts. The women provide the flesh and the men provide the fire. So you have a world running wild that's sex crazy today. Pornography is now maybe the biggest business in America other than the government itself. A lady coming to our church when I first got here. I was very kind to her. Never talked to her myself at all. She came in here, her tops were so low, excuse me, but I'm going to say something. The cleavage of her bosom would show. I was very kind, very polite. Ignored it. Finally, one of our ladies came and said, I don't want my husband to see that anymore. So I had a godly lady. I said, well, you may talk to her. This gal went and said, if I could talk to you, I'd just like to talk to you a little bit about something. I think you're embarrassing yourself. Woman got mad and left our church. She said, I'll not go to a church that would tell me something like that. Well, let me tell you what. We'll tell you, too. You won't come around church, you keep yourself covered up. By the way, if it's good for church, it's, hey, you want to show yourself to your husband? By the way, it'd be good that some of you started showing yourself to your husband. Cold as Frosty the Snowman. But you're not supposed to be showing yourself to anybody else. Keep it covered up. You're not so hot anyway. If you want to leave this church because I say things like that, there is a better place for you. You'll be happier somewhere else. Because I won't change that. I won't change that. I'm not going to change that. You see, there's a season that, that Satan likes. Satan loves the summer season, and it's upon us. And I'm to preach the word. I'm to preach purity, all of it, even when it's not popular. Satan loves the season of backsliding and the season of sin. Satan's favorite season is the summer stealing season. You say stealing season? Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." But you say, "Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." Don't stop tithing over the summer. Why? Because you spent your money on vacation. Because you spent it fixing up your house. You know how bad the house needs painted. You got to get the house painted. You got to get that. You got to get that siding on the house, and you got to get some landscaping done. Why don't you just spend God's money on it? Take the tithe and use it to fix up your house. The Bible very clearly teaches in the Old Testament there was a curse on some houses because they were more concerned about their house than the house of God. Satan loves the summer season. I think more people, two times of the year, that people steal God's money than any other. The first, Christmas. People steal more money from God at Christmas than probably any other time of the year. And then there's the summer season. People go on vacation and just forget to give their tithe. You promise some money to missions over the summer. You're not going to give it. You know what you'll do? You will waste your money all summer long. You'll have 3 months. Those of you that have your children in the Christian school, you'll waste money for 3 months with no school bill, and then you'll tell us at the beginning of the school season, "Oh, I can't put my kids in school." You know, yeah, and everybody here, we need to learn. We need to learn to tithe on all our increase. You sell a house, you better figure out how much of that is profit, and you tithe on it. Somebody gives you a gift, an inheritance, whatever it is, you make sure that you are tithing as you're supposed to tithe. You see, it's the summer season. It's Satan's season. Satan's favorite season. It's Satan's favorite season because of the summer nakedness that's about to happen. Nakedness time, isn't it? I was delighted. Earlier today, a family from out in Shepherdstown came to visit our church. After the service was over with, I was walking through the hallway, getting ready to leave the property. One of the assistant pastors stopped me and said, "Brother Owens, this is so-and-so. They're here to visit." And they were just asking me about our church a little bit. And this man turned to me and said, "You have standards around here?" I said, "We sure do." He said, "You have dress standards?" I said, "I think we do." He said, "Good." He said, "You can't find any churches with them much anymore, and that's what we're looking for. We're tired of going to churches that look like the world and dress like the world, and everybody thinks it's okay." You know, listen to this. Leviticus 18:6 says, "None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord." You know, the Bible teaches you're not supposed to be looking at your family members naked. Now, in a minute, I'm going to qualify what nakedness is. Now, I understand you have little ones and they'll be bathed and they'll be diapered. That's not what God's talking about. God's talking about there comes a point when even your family members you should not see naked. The summer is naked season, isn't it? Yeah, sure it is. Let's strip and go to the beach. Commercial. I do not have time to tell you all the reasons you should not go to the beach. I think you're bright enough to figure it out. But in case you're not, I preached one whole sermon, 45 minutes on it. There's a tape out there. They're only a dollar. That's just about what I pay for them. They're right out there. They're a dollar each. You say, "What's wrong with the beach?" You get a tape and you listen to it. Now, if you could see it on video, it'd be so much better for you. But you get a tape. It'll tell you what's wrong with the beach. But I'm not going to spend my time teaching a kindergarten lesson on it. And it was a kindergarten spiritual lesson, so you know. We want to strip and go to the beach, take off all of our clothes. Why is it so quiet in here? What is nakedness according to the Bible? Isaiah 47 verse 1 through 3 says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meat. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will have vengeance, I say." The Bible teaches that we are not to show our thighs. The Bible very clearly teaches that a lady's thigh should not be seen by any man other than her husband. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, I didn't write that. God wrote that. Our school dress code, our boys' basketball team, their shorts come all the way down to the thigh. Our girls wear skirts or culottes. They come all the way down and cover their thigh. That is not, hey, and some of you don't understand it. You still don't get it. Your God is the school instead of the God of the Bible. You will dress right for school, but you will not dress right for God at home. That school is not your God. That book is your God's book. You want to dress right for God. For God. You know what? I'm so tired of seeing ladies' underclothes. You go in, all you have to do is go into the store, and gals are wearing these straps on their tops that virtually make sure you get to see their bras. I don't want to see your bra or anybody else's bra. Cover yourself up. You're not supposed to show your underwear. Is America so destitute of the truth that we do not understand the word under means under? And don't wear your stuff so tight that we can see through your dress and we know what size you're wearing, because we can read right through the label. You got to grease your feet to get what you wear on. You slide into it. And your rolls are showing, sugar. Obesity and spandex do not match. Some of you older women that, you must have lived up your childhood, and now you're older and you want to walk around and look like some sort of a teenage Jezebel. Put some clothes on. Become modest and decent at your age. We don't want to see your wrinkled thighs. All them varicose veins halfway up your thigh don't turn no men on. It might turn you on. And listen, if you can't take this Bible teaching, how are you going to handle it? This summer I'll be teaching on why a woman shouldn't wear pants, why a man shouldn't wear a dress. If you can't take it tonight, you're going to have a really rough time before we get through the summer. And by the way, I'll prove it with the Bible. With the Bible, I will prove it. There's more rape in the summer than any other time of the year. You want to know why? Everybody's advertising their body. Come and get some. Come and get some. Look what I have. Let me show it to you. Let me show you my underclothes. Let me show you. I've got myself dressed so tight you can see right through my top. If it's not for sale, don't advertise it. More adultery in the naked season. More loss of virginity in the naked season. More messed up marriages in the naked season. You see, Satan's favorite season in the summer is nakedness season. He loves it. Satan's favorite season in the summer is the laziness season. Proverbs 19:24 says, "A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, will not so much as bring it to his mouth again." It's talking about somebody who's so lazy, they're always trying to figure out how to get out of work. Don't let the summer make you lazy. You young people, don't spend your entire summer playing computer games. You will not earn a better living when you grow up by becoming efficient on a computer game. And again, so you parents, you let your kids play any computer game they want. Tell you what you do. Take a look at some of those women on those computer games. Take a good look at them. Listen to the music. Listen to the background music. Put the game away. Crank the music. Get the biggest speakers you can. Crank the music and let it come out of your house. You say, "I would never dare." Then what are you doing letting your kids listen to it? When are parents going to start rearing their kids instead of kids dominating parents? And you young people, you let your mom and dad tell you no. And then obey them. There'll be kids, all the rock and roll, the murder. And who knows what else is packed into those video games. You find a decent video game, play it. I'm for it. I don't mind it. But I'll tell you something. They're full of so much filth. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to replace Brother Nash teaching Bible at school this year. You're going to replace it with your kids sitting and playing an hour worth of video that's all rock and roll, nudity, and murder. That's a pretty good swap.
Read your Bible over the summer.
Read. God knows America just needs to learn to read again. I'm not talking about Harry Potter books either. That's witchcraft. It's not just entertainment like you think. Pray. Come to church. Hey, why don't we just do some of the things that we said that we wanted to do while it was too cold? Oh, if the weather were only better. I'd fix this, paint that. I'd do this. I'd do that. You know something? We don't promote dating a bunch around here to our teenagers. I think they need to fall madly in love with mom, madly in love with dad, and madly in love with Jesus. And then there comes a day when they grow and mature. Maybe the senior year, maybe the year that they graduate, they could get a little more serious. But I see so many failed marriages because of lust and no guidelines. And I just think it's best that they wait until they're mature adults where they can handle it. Some of you parents better watch who your kids date. Let me tell every one of you moms and dads something. Let me tell you something. Every mom and dad that has a daughter in this church, you better be dead sure there are all sorts of boys out there in the world that would like to come to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church and get them a girl. Do you want to know why? Because you've got an old-fashioned preacher that stands up here and says, be clean and sweet and moral and save yourself, and some dog from the world would like to track in here and grab one of our girls and walk off with her and ruin her life. Why wouldn't he want one of our girls? They're pure and decent. They don't want some whore that's been out in the world. They want a decent girl. They want to go out and live it up and have their sex and be filthy and rotten and low down. And when it's time to get a girl, let's go down to the church and get one of Brother Owens' fine girls that they've trained. You better watch who your daughters date. Don't be so desperate to get rid of them that you throw them to the dogs of the world because you're tired of rearing them, because you don't want to live up to the responsibility of taking care of them. And let me tell you, every one of you parents that have a boy that's in this church, your boy's going to latch on to some sleazy girl that'll flip her skirt up, wear her tops a little extra tight, and all of a sudden pop in here one day and say, well, you know what? These boys are all right. They're hardworking. They're decent. They're clean. They're honest. Why wouldn't some Jezebel like to have one of our boys? You better protect your kids. I challenge you. Come ask me if your boy ought to be dating that girl. Come ask me if your daughter ought to be dating that boy. You boys ought to be asking the preacher before you date her. Or do you already know? The reason you won't ask me, because you know I'll say, you think she's clean? Does she come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Does she dress right? Does she listen to the right music? Is she pure? Is she the right kind of girl? You say, Brother Owens, I already know. That's why you avoid me. That's why a lot of people avoid me. They cannot endure the instant truth that Paul challenged Timothy to be spreading around. Hey, over the summer, build your Sunday school class. Build your bus route. Teachers, prepare for the next school year. You know what's so exciting for me? There's only a couple issues. If I keep pushing them, I'll finally be comfortable totally in this pulpit. I'm getting really close. It's taken 3 years to get us there. I can't wait until I have full liberty. But I'm getting close. I'm getting very close. You say, I don't like this. You're the one that needs to change. I know how stubborn some of you women are. You just ran into somebody more stubborn. Your husband's not that stubborn. Or he would ask you to change some things a long time ago. But see, I'm married to you. And thank God. Your leash would be so short, sweetie. You know what? Preaching like this bothers more women than anything else. I've got two or three right now that are just staring darts through me. Would you like me to point? There's one in the choir. She is so upset about the dress code issue, she can't stand it right now. There's one in the congregation. Maybe I ought to point them out. They're pointing me out with the way they're looking at me. You're like a coon dog, man. No, you're like a bird dog. If your tail had a point, you'd flip her up too. So you all know, everybody will follow the dress code sooner or later in the choir.
Yes, sir.
I've been waiting on you. You coming my way, or you're going to have to step out. And I got a lot of backing. It's the tough season. Summer season. Summer season's here. You're to preach the word instant in season, out of season. It's summer season, I think, for fundamentalism. I think churches and fundamentalism across America better be careful. I think summer season's here for them. I think they're making a lot of decisions. You take, for instance, I have a lot of confidence in the spiritual leadership of a man that passed away about 5 years ago, Dr. Jack Hiles. You know what happened? He graduated. When graduation came, the seniors who were graduating, some of them have cut loose and gone their own direction, doing their own thing. I watched churches that they didn't catch what he was all about. As long as Brother Hiles would remind them that they're to have standards and convictions and morality, as long as he was there to guide them, they said, okay, we'll follow. Well, I got news for you. I was a fundamentalist before I met Jack Hiles, and I'm a fundamentalist after he's gone. And his absence does not change that book one little bit. But I'm watching people across the country. He is gone, and they're almost confused about what they believe. The black book has not changed. God is still real. The Bible's still true. We're to believe it whether he's here or not, if D.L. Moody's here or not, or Charles Spurgeon is here or not. And I'll tell you something. It'd be good that a bunch of you believe it whether Jeff Owens was here tonight or not. One of these bird dogs come after me, and they get rid of me. Come on out. If they come get me, let me advise you. Call your next pastor and make sure he believes the old-time way. And I'd trade the bird dog. Probably a chicken killer anyway. Summer season's here for fundamentalism. We better stand fast. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist. It's all I've ever known. I've been one for 30 years. You'll find this out if you were here when I first got here and I candidated. There's nothing that I said this evening that you couldn't have read in my candidating sermon. I did not whine and dine you for one single second. I told you what it was, and I am. Some people think I'm a little cowardly because I'm taking 2 and 3 years to get around to some things. What I'm trying to do is love some of you and teach you so that you'll understand, and then you can make your changes. There'll be some that won't do it. They won't. They won't do it. But it won't be, I really believe this, won't be a lack of wisdom on my part. It'll be a lack of wisdom on theirs. The summer season's here. And let's be careful. It's Satan's favorite season. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.